Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Donald Trump has started a kerfuffle. Would that be the best way to describe it? A kerfuffle? He has kerfuffled China because he called the president of Taiwan and said, you guys are awesome at Little League Baseball? Or was that Chinese Taipei? I can't remember. But you don't do that. The Chinese look at that as very much a slight. Telling you guys, Trump is going to do some stuff that's different, that is going to wrinkle the feathers of folk around the world. Because he's, you know, he's used to, politics is about getting things done in a lot of ways, very, very subtly. It's very much a subtle situation. You know, this is the way politics, and I'm going to break this down for you. This is probably the greatest breakdown of how Trump is going to rule or lead as a president and what we've had in the past and how politics is done. Politics in the past has been this European drama that was slow and it was costume drama and it was a lot of very much acting and looking to the camera and then looking away and it's very, ooh, yes, of course. Trump is an action horror movie. Where with a little bit of comedy thrown in, that's what it is. Like, the best way to describe that is right there. Politics the old way, hello, costume drama, very nice. Politics Trump's way, he's a bull in a China shop. Because he's mad at China, and China's mad at him now. Ah, we're mad at you. That is the perfect way to describe Trump is he is an action horror movie that is that with comedy sprinkled it out and maybe some nudity, and everybody else does politics like a British costume drama, like Pride and Prejudice, right? Just very, hello, how are you? Of course I'm fine. Ah. Of course, he only picked up the phone. Hey, what's going on? It's the Donald. You're the president of old Taipei over there, or Tiwini, or whatever it's called. How you doing? I got a hotel over there. The people he's going to piss off, that's half the fun of it all. That is half the fun. He is a bull in a China store. You just don't do that. I think 1978 is the last time a president's elect has called the president of Taiwan. And just to give you, if you don't understand the issues with Taiwan and its sovereignty and China, which says you're ours, is tremendous. It's like it is not a good situation. And the fact that he did that, thumbed his nose in the face of the Chinese. Because Trump knows he has China over the barrel. And by the way, for those of you thinking World War III is going to come and this is going to be, nuclear weapons are not going to be used. There is no nuclear weapons in the filming of this war. This is not going to happen. It's a zero-sum game. Everybody loses in that, right? Like, everybody loses. Like, nobody emerges a winner. And China is still light years behind us when it comes to technology, when it comes to defense. They're light years behind us. So don't think. But China's, you know, they're flexing their muscles. And look, people are going to test Trump. They want to see what he's made of. They want to see what his mettle is. Is he real? But I think they're going to find out not only is he real, he's not much of a BSer. And I think he's going to lay it all out there. But I just found it really hilarious. The best way to describe it is Trump's presidency is Demolition Man meets Tombstone. And everybody else's leadership around the world and the way they do politics is Pride and Prejudice. Yeah, that's not very nice. Ah, it's funny. Come on. Stop being so serious, for God's sakes. Really, I'm serious. Stop being so serious. Yesterday, I had a discussion last night on, was it Wednesday that we had our Fight for 15 arguments or discussion? Because I was mad at, you know, the people who were always out. Because Tuesday, they had their day of desperation or whatever I called it. And so somebody, he hit me up on Facebook last night. And so I love it when it starts out as an insult. That's when you know things are going well. Like when it starts out like you're basically stupid and you're an idiot and you're only worth 25 cents an hour, Chad. And could you live on that? I'm like, no, but I don't have to because I do what I do. But he started out insulting me and I was very like, because look, in doing this business, if you don't piss people off, then you're not doing your job. And the good news is I piss everybody off, right? Like the people on the far right hate me. The people on the far left hate me. And that's okay with me because that means I'm doing my job. And that's what I want to do because I want people to think. But when we start, I started asking the guy questions because he was mad at me over the Fight for 15 and why would you say those things about people in the Fight for 15? And why would and we finally had a civil conversation and he said, thank you for making it civil. I never apologized for calling me names, but whatever. I mean, it didn't matter. But the thing I got out of it is, and I love to study human nature. I think human nature is the most interesting thing of all the things that we can look at. It's just human beings in general, our intricacies, our quirks, our weirdness, our all. It's all great, but the more that you study things, the more that you start to realize, okay, you know what? There are people out there who are free thinkers. There are people out there that are ultra conservative, and that's all they're ever going to be, and they're born that way. And there are people out there, I think, who are very liberal and are very touchy-feely and are very safe space, and they're born that way. Now, experiences can change some stuff, but I think a lot of times, especially when it comes to the people on the left, I think the people on the right have very little empathy. On the far right, not that they don't, but I think at times they don't put themselves in other people's shoes. And I think people on the far left, they just lead with feelings. And the facts that hit you in your face, that means nothing to them. And we were talking about the Fight for 15. And he wanted me to acknowledge the fact that, you know, one in like, you know, four people are living on $10 an hour. And then he starts going over these kind of hybrid numbers. And I'm just like, look, here's the thing, man. It's like, this is the world we live in. Well, it's rigged. Call it what you want. Saying something's rigged doesn't fix the problem. If you think there's a problem with the process and you think there's a problem with the world, then do your best to change it. Crying about it doesn't change it. Yelling at me doesn't change it. Do your best to change it. That's all you got to do. Just try harder to change it, right? Like figure out a way to make the world better. But when I look at the Fight for 15 people, what I see a lot of times are, you know, what I said this week, which is, you know, I see a lot of people who are older, who've made some decisions in life that probably weren't the very best. A lot of people who don't really want to change. They want the world to change for them. They don't want to change. And they say, oh, that's not true. And it is true. It is true. They want change. They want overnight to be handed $15 an hour when the job they do says you get seven. But it's or eight or whatever it is, and depending on, I guess, where you live in the country. I don't even know what minimum wage is. But, oh, Chad, you're a jerk. No, I'm not. I'm just, I don't know. It's different in every state. But it's the feelings part of things. And I realized that you can't have a discussion with somebody who's basing a lot of this stuff on feelings and not the logical side of things. You think businesses are bad. You think corporations are he says to me, nobody should make 700 times what the lowest employee makes. Nobody should earn 700 times that. I'm like, I don't care what they make. Do you care what Beyonce makes? Do you care what Oprah makes? Do you care what Steven Spielberg makes? You don't. Why do you care what some guy who's the CEO of Carrier makes? Why do you care about that? You don't bitch about Oprah. You never said anything about Michael Jordan making that much money. You don't care that Jay-Z, you don't care that Kanye, you don't care that Kim Kardashian makes $50 million a year snapping shots on Instagram. You don't care about that. So, again, but the thing is, corporations are one of those things where you can demonize a corporation. But as we started talking, I realized that look, he's a good guy, but it was a feelings-based thing. Well, you know, if we'd have kept up with inflation and continued moving the same way, minimum wage would be $19 an hour. And I said, yeah, probably. And we'd have priced ourselves out a lot of stuff and we'd have moved elsewhere. And this stuff would have happened a lot sooner than it has now. Well, then we need rent control. Again, it's always we need the government to do something because it's the feeling side of stuff. The truth is, when truth gets in the way for a lot of these people, it's an annoyance. And it shouldn't be an annoyance. The truth should be the truth. Feelings should be feelings. Facts, not feelings. That's what matters. You can have empathy and understand why somebody feels the way they do. But if the facts are presented and those are just the facts, then that's life, right? You can feel for somebody. I feel bad, but this is the truth. If we keep these jobs here, we can't compete. The uncompetitiveness that everybody else and the advantages that everybody else has in this portion and this time, we're going to end up losing our ass, and eventually we're going to have to close down and everybody lose their jobs, and we'll lose lots of money. Well, that's not very fair. No, it's just what it is. It's the truth. Winston Churchill was one of the greatest leaders of our time. In the face of adversity, he faced a lot of adversity. One of the things about him, though, he was always very thinking forward kind of guy. And a lot of the stuff that he said made a lot of sense. And one of the things he said about truth that I think rings true in a lot of these things, and especially when it comes to the snowflake generation of feelings and all these kind of things, is the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it. Ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is. Essentially saying is, you can yell at it, you can scream at it, you can want, you can hope, and you can wish, but it won't change what the truth is. Interesting. Hey, you know what else is interesting? Being fit as a fiddle. Phil and I are doing our best to become fitter as a fiddle. And one of the things that helps us is this, this amazing little drink we call Super Beats. We take it every day. It's just a teaspoon into some water, maybe a smoothie. And it's amazing. I take my Super Beats everywhere I go. It's better than a soda. It is better than an energy drink. It is better than reaching for coffee. Not only will you save money, it tastes great, and it actually does something for you. It helps with circulation and blood flow, which helps with what? Healthy heart, healthy blood pressure. Those are the things that you need and you want, especially as you get a bit older. We're heading into Christmas time. It's a great gift. If you're thinking about, hey, the new year is going to be here very soon, I want the opportunity to be healthier, what's a perfect way to do it? This is a perfect first step. Not only will you save money because you're going to get rid of all those other things, but you're also going to feel great, and it tastes great. I know you're worried. Trust me, I was. Phil tried it before I did because I have the palate of a 7-year-old. If you listen to the show, you know that. Phil, you like it.
I love it. I think it tastes great, and I can feel the energy. I can feel, and I don't get the crash afterwards. I've stopped drinking coffee in the morning. I have Super Beats in the morning, Super Beats right before the show. I feel great, and it's just an amazing product.
I want you to try it. I want you to give yourself a gift this year. Maybe get your friend one. Maybe get your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife one. It's incredible. The energy, the stamina. Within 20 minutes, Super Beats will help you feel it all. That I can guarantee, and so do they. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You also get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. Make sure it's working in your body. Plus, get the book, Beat the Odds, free. All of this comes to you with free shipping. It's guaranteed. Or your money back. Booyaka. Guaranteed or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. It works. Order today. Tell them Chad sent ya. Chad Benson Show.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
I love you. I love you out there, people who are mad at me because why are you making fun of the fight for 15? Why are you making fun of people they call the snowflake generation? Texter wrote in and said, there are people in Americans like you and I. Absolutely. I never said that. I just said that, A, they can't take a joke, and B, they need to get over themselves. If you want to change things in life, you can't. And I was reading an article today that there are now therapists who are specializing in post-election sadness and depression. Can you believe that? Therapists. In fact, it is becoming so big that they're actually setting up kind of like rehab centers to help people. Take a listen.
Are you suffering from PESD, post-election stress disorder? Are you terrified that Trump troopers are coming to lock you up? Do you see food handlers, Uber drivers, even supermarket baggers sporting tiny little Hitler mustaches? Are you more paranoid than Kanye West? Calm down. We are here to help you. We have trained Trump trauma therapists to take your calls. They can talk you back from the ledge and help you pick your very own safe space. Call us now at 555-NO-PLACE-FOR-REALITY. That's 555-NO-PLACE-FOR-REALITY. When your delicate ego has been bruised and your mommy can't fix things anymore, No Place for Reality is here to help you. No Place for Reality is sponsored by Harry's Gluten Free Dog Treats and Hillary for President 2020.
Gluten free. You buy the gluten free, producer Phil?
I do not buy the gluten free. I'm sorry.
I do not either. Now, if you have celiac disease or Crohn's, that's one thing. But I, you know, we look for anything in this day and age to change. I'm on a paleo diet. I'm on this. You know what diet I'm on? I'm on a eat a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't eat diet.
That's my diet right there.
It's a super solid diet. It is tasty as can be. Remember, if it tastes good, chances are it's probably not good for you. If it tastes bad, chances are it's really good for you.
Hey, Chad.
Yo.
So I went out grocery shopping the other day, filled my refrigerator, filled with food for a couple of weeks, and my brain says, I want IHOP.
Everybody does it. I just grocery shop. I don't want to make dinner tonight. I'm going to stop and pick something up.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. I don't want to make anything. Crockpot is the greatest thing ever. I'm going to throw a bunch of crap in it. I'll come back in 8 hours and I'll eat out of it. Like
that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Blake is going to join us. We're going to talk movies. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Across the wilderness.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I love talking movies. Normally we have Scott Cardi. He's not with us, but now we have somebody that is our movie guy locally in here. Joining us now is Blake Stubbs, who is, congratulations, Mr. New Drone Pilot. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Blake loves movies probably more than even Scott Cardi. That is your dream job, right? With Scott, that is your dream job?
Yeah, the idea that I could just travel around, watch movies, review them, and interview stars. I mean, you know, I kind of had that gig in college, and it felt like the dream. And then, you know, college ended, and I had to get a real job. And so that's what I've been doing. Now I find out people have that, and it is a real job. So, yes, I would call that the dream. I would love to do that.
It is a cool job. He'll always, you know, he sends me text messages. Hey, can we do this thing a little bit earlier today? Because I got X, Y, and Z going on. I'm like, yeah, the dream job it is. Let's start with movies. Nothing's really coming out this week. There's a few small things. Jackie is opening in limited release. And this is the of course, Jackie O's kind of biop picture. And it looks great. And Natalie Portman is in it. And she looks... So it's a dead ringer for her.
Dead ringer, and this particular portrayal seems to be like that thing where, you know, you haven't seen Natalie Portman in a little while, and then all of a sudden she's going to show up and do a Black Swan-type film, you know, which is going to get a lot of critical acclaim. It's going to be one of those completely involved biopics where her portrayal is going to be heralded throughout the rest of the year. Oscar buzz just based on the trailer, that kind of thing. So if you can see Jackie... go see it, because I'm curious to see if it's as big as that trailer built it up to be.
It looks amazing, I will say. And she looks like a dead ringer. Now, Phil, you were actually, I remember you talked about this, you were a few feet away, very stalkerish from old Natalie Portman.
I happened to be eating at a restaurant in D.C. with my friends one day, and all of a sudden, everything stopped outside. So we went outside to see what was going on, and here they were filming, you know, the climactic death scene, and Natalie Portman was there, and yeah, I stalked.
Super good fan. You're not really a good stalker until they tell you if you come around again, we'll arrest you. Talking to Blake Stubbs about movies. That's kind of the only thing that's coming out. I think there's a is it Incarnate, which is like a horror movie or something?
Yeah, it looks like a horror movie kind of from the crew that brought The Conjuring. Think Paranormal Activity, like the end of the year. Not the same thing like a found footage film, but the, sort of that end of the year horror film that we just didn't get it out around Halloween. So we're going to chuck it into this really bad weekend in December when nothing else is happening. And we need one movie to put out there. Aaron Eckhart is in this film. I am an Aaron Eckhart fan, but occasionally I look at the man's credits and I think, why did he do this? Why did he do this? And then I remember actors need to work.
He's a younger version of Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage will do any movie you ever ask him to do. If you ask Nicolas Cage to do a snuff film tonight, he'd be like, okay.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Sign me up, man.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
It's crazy. We're talking to Blake Stubbs about movies. Next weekend, movies are coming out, and the Christmas Party movie, I actually love those kind of movies. I can't wait to see it. T.J. Miller is absolutely hilarious.
He's on fire. Just put him on camera, and he's going to make people laugh.
He is. If you don't know who T.J. Miller is, he was in Deadpool, hilarious.
Yes.
The part where he looks at the what's his name, Wade?
Yes.
Deadpool, and says, "Hey, Wade, I wish I could go with you, but I don't want to." And it's just the way he delivers it. It's great, but it looks awesome. Jennifer Aniston's in it. Jason Bateman's in it as well. But outside of that, this is the time of the year when you're going to get some family movies. And you get some other movies, and those other movies are going to be the Oscar contenders where they just need to get him in by the end of the year so they can count towards the Oscars. I'm looking around. I mean, we've had some stuff that's come out that people are talking about. Moonlight. I think Loving and Manchester by the Sea are going to be huge.
Yes.
La La Land is supposed to be this incredible movie that comes out next weekend as well.
Yes, and that movie is from the writer director of Whiplash, which, if you recall, Whiplash, Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons won the Oscar for that. This guy makes really good music based films, and La La Land, for some, I saw a trailer for that months ago, and I thought that looks kind of charming. It looks like a charming musical with two people who have pretty good chemistry on screen, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, and you know what? There's Oscar buzz that this could win Best Picture coming out of a lot of critic circles right now.
I hear Manchester by the Sea is huge. Casey Affleck is going to get a nomination.
Yes.
He's going to move out of Ben's shadow. Of all the movies I see coming out in the next couple weeks, there is one movie that I want to see, and it opens on Christmas Day, and it's called Hidden Figures.
Yes, Hidden Figures, which looks to be one of the most uplifting, rich stories about unsung heroes.
And if you aren't familiar, when NASA was trying to get themselves to the moon, was trying to get themselves into space, there were three African-American women that were a huge part of what happened. They were all geniuses, essentially, but they were treated as if they were no more than the help. They couldn't even go to the bathroom in the building. And Kevin Costner's in this. The movie looks amazing. And that's like one of those movies, like, I can't wait to see that movie. Since I saw the trailer, I'm like, I'll go back and revisit the trailer. Because it just looks amazing.
It looks like the type of movie that every once in a while one will come out that it's a make-you-feel-good film, but it also depicts something that was quite trying. And then in the end, the resolution just makes you feel like something really great happened. And it's told in such a way that the story is compelling throughout. That's how that trailer just sang to me when I saw it for the first time.
I'm talking to Blake Stubbs about movies. We look towards what may be Oscar-worthy and some of the stuff that's coming out towards the holiday season. Mel Gibson's redemption and his circle of forgiveness is starting to happen. He's getting nominated for all kinds of things, Golden Globes, and you know, he's going to get People's Choice. Hacksaw Ridge is his movie. This is a redemption tour, and he's back.
He is. Here's the thing, and Mel Gibson, you know, the person in the public, has had a checkered past, and forgiveness has been given on a couple of occasions and asked for on others. Mel Gibson, the director, is one of those who I feel like somewhat akin to the way Clint Eastwood is as well. The way he directs a film, when he directs a film, I can't wait to see it. And it has nothing to do with my opinion of the man himself or his talent as an actor, because that's how I discovered him. You know, I saw him first as an actor. But when he makes films, they are very involved. He is a storyteller at heart, and he sees himself that way. And when he's only in the director's chair, it shows. And I think that Hacksaw Ridge is turning some heads. It's one of those dark horses, I think, for Best Picture category this year. But it definitely has shown some very harrowing scenes. It's got some great performances in it, especially from Andrew Garfield. The man knows how to direct an actor, and he knows how to direct big scenes. And it shows.
I want to see the movie Loving, and I think it's timely for this time of year and for what we just went through. If you don't know what it's about, it's a true story based on the first interracial couple that actually challenged it all the way up to the Supreme Court and what they went through. And it's another one of those movies that it's not as feel goody. It's more gritty, but it becomes feel goody. And it just looks amazing.
It's directed by Jeff Nichols, who's an Arkansas boy that made a few films that caught Roger Ebert's eye before he passed. Shotgun Stories being one of them. This year's Midnight Special was one of his. He's had a heck of a year with putting out films. And these are Midnight Special compared to Loving, two completely different types of films. But they show that he's one of those rich storytellers who knows how to tell a story visually. And I think that if the Academy is going to pay attention to Jeff Nichols now, then the guy I had lunch with, you know, 5 or 6 years ago at a film festival, who just, you know, captured my attention completely with his outlook on how to make movies, what it's like to make a movie, why we make movies the way we do in America. It's going to be a very fitting thing for me to be sitting at an Oscar party somewhere and saying, you know what, I called that many years ago and had a great conversation with Jeff Nichols about what goes into making movies. This guy has never made a bad film. I don't think he ever will, but Loving is the film that I think caught everyone's attention in a big way. And I think on the Academy level, which kind of tells you that's sort of a validation, you know, road to go down. If they're going to pay attention, you know what? All worth it, because he just knows how to tell a great story.
Last year was Oscar so white. This year, I think you're going to get numerous, multiple, you know, people of color kind of nominations. I think the front runner for the Oscar nomination in the male category isn't going to be Tom Hanks. It isn't going to be, what's his name from Loving? I forget his name. He's great.
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah. It's going to be Denzel Washington in Fences.
It is. And you know what? His co-star, Viola Davis,
yes,
who could have easily won, in my opinion, for The Help years ago. These two opposite each other, if you were going to tell me we're going to make a movie of Fences, of August Wilson's Fences, which, you know, has a very rich Broadway history, a very rich being staged all across the country and telling this incredible story. The fact that they got a movie made, but also got the two unquestionably best actors to play these two parts, screams, just start engraving the trophies now, in my opinion. I mean, I'm calling it now, and I could be very wrong in a few months, but when I watched that trailer, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited to finally see this told cinematically. And they did not mess up the casting in this. And it completely.
And Fences, if you don't know what it is a movie based on a play originally about a retired Negro league baseball player and his family in the 50s in Pittsburgh. And it's incredible. And they've got a son that, you know, he is Denzel's teaching him a lot of stuff. But his son has an opportunity athletically to do some stuff. And Denzel kind of wants him to steer away from that because it got him nothing as far as he was concerned. So that looks good. I've not seen it. As we talk to Blake Stubbs here, as we look over the movies that are coming out, some that have passed that may be winners and maybe opportunities for you to see on Netflix or go see this weekend as it's quiet. But I'm going to rent it. I may do it this weekend. I may not. I really want to see Hell or High Water, and Jeff Bridges is going to get a nomination.
Hell or High Water is the one movie this year that when I, you know, talk to critic friends, when I talk to people who did go out and see it because they read something on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, it was the one film that unanimously I didn't hear a negative thing about. People were taken with this movie. Some who went to see it had no idea what it was beforehand other than Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine are in it. But other than that, that is a big one. I think Jeff Bridges is just one of those actors when he shows up to do a movie, if it's the right movie, and it's one of these deep, rich dramas or thrillers or, you know, something he can really sink his teeth into. It's hard not to put him on an Oscar ballot or a Golden Globe ballot or any other type of ballot out there because he's just one of our quintessential actors that were treated to performances.
To me, he comes across in this movie as all the trailers and stuff I've seen is very subtle but very commanding.
Right. Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, like Javier Bardem was in you know, whatever that
was. No Country for Old Men. Yes.
Very subtle in his acting, his presence, his look, the whole nine yard. It looks great. So lots of good stuff coming out. And a quick one. You like Kubo for
Kubo and the yes.
Yeah, Kubo and the two strings, whatever it is. I saw it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was incredible. I think it was one of the most Jack loved it. And understand that we see these movies, like we've seen Pets Life and we've seen Dora, we've seen all these things. And those movies are for kids. This movie was for kids, but it was a much deeper version of stuff that didn't quite. Jack loved it, and I can't wait to see. We're going to go see, was it Moana?
Moana, yes.
We're going to go see that this weekend. But I think you're right. I think Kubo is one of those ones where the Oscar people will appreciate the artistic beauty of it and
absolutely
the writing and the whole nine.
Yeah, I was going to say the animation category is going to end up being one of my favorite categories, I think, this year, just because of the sheer volume of quality animated tales we were treated to at the cinema. Finding Dory, Moana. You have Zootopia.
Pets Life.
Secret Life of Pets, yes. Kubo, which Kubo is my favorite. I'm a sucker for stop motion. I just love it. But every single one of these was a fun ride with good morals, good stories, and whether you were a kid or an adult, you got your money's worth by seeing any one of them.
Yeah.
And I think that tells you that the category could be very contentious come Oscar night.
Maybe the most contested category. His name's Blake Stubbs. We appreciate you coming on, Blake, as always. Our man in review locally here. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Soon to have his own movie podcast, which you guys will be able to pick up and listen to because he knows what he's doing when it comes to movies more so than I do. I just like to watch him. He actually understands them. Chad Benson Show. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it,
wrap it up. I'll take it. You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
We're wrapping it up. Indeed. We're not too far away from Christmas. What are we, 3 weeks, that we said, away from Christmas Eve? Producer Anthony says 3 weeks from Christmas Eve. If you haven't started your shopping, Phil and I will require a lot of stuff to continue to be your friends because those are the kind of people that we are. I'm kidding. You don't have to get me anything because I didn't get you anything. 12 Days of Christmas. We sing the song, and we don't know why. It takes forever, and really, it's a stupid song. But every year, everybody gets humored over the fact that what does it actually cost for the 12 Days of Christmas? PNC has the Christmas Price Index, and on Friday, they released it. This year, it is slightly up from last year and what it will cost you for the 12 Days of Christmas. Here we go. 12 drummers drumming is going to cost you about $2,854 last year. This year is going to cost you $2,900. Pipers piping, $2,700 this year, up a little bit from last year. 10 Lords of Leaping, which have we ever figured out what the hell 10 Lords of Leaping are? I don't, like, where do I even get a Lord? First of all, I thought there was only one. So right there, we're going to have to go to England because they got lots of Lords. And they're probably not going to do it cheap. But this is going to cost us only $5,500 for that.
Hang on, Chad.
Now, this one I know we could get. And I think if we're honest, Phil, I think this is probably a good price for them. 9 Ladies Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a fair price. Singles. What are you doing? It's Christmas. I'm making it rain. I'm making it rain. The ladies who couldn't dance are the 8 Maids of Milking. Last year they cost $58. This year they cost $58. You know what? They should fight for 15. It would cost more than, wouldn't it?
Chad, we got to back up for a second.
What? We have a paper. We do have a paper, dude. 7 Swans of Swimming are the most expensive thing. $13,125. 6 Geese of Land. At least somebody's having fun. That's $360. 5 Golden Rings, cheap ones, $750 for those bad dogs. 4 Calling Birds. Those are canaries? Is that what that is? Is that a calling bird? Could be a parrot, I guess. I guess that'd be more expensive. Cockatoo? I don't know. 3 French hen. 2 turtle doves. $375 this year. Last year, $290. Partridge in a pear tree has actually gone down only $20. Now, that's if you get 1 partridge in a pear tree. So the partridge itself is only $20. Total this year, Christmas price index, 34,000. $363, up from $34,130 last year. Total true cost of the Christmas song. This is the true cost. Last year, $155,470. This year, $156,507.88. If you get rid of the swans, though, because those things, you're going to save yourself about $21,000 total cost.
Well, the economy is in recovery.
It is in recovery, though. It is in recovery. Now, if we use the internet, by the way, on these, we don't save ourselves a lot. In fact, if we use the internet, it's going to cost us about $44,000 total and over $200,000 for the true price. So maybe we should just do it the traditional way rather than go through the internet because Amazon's not giving us the deals we thought for our nine ladies dancing. How would you even order that on the internet?
$1 at a time.
On that note, the Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. You can text the show. You can text me. It comes right to me. That's how we roll. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Solid fun work for Anthony, for the Czar, for Scotty, who helped us out as always, and my man Phil out there. Have yourself a safe and wonderful weekend. Night night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.